Hey guys, it's Brooke. Hello and howdy do, or whatever you want to say. This is like a little separate segment from the actual episode. Let me just be clear. I recorded this episode on like December 24th or something. It was like done before. it's been done for a while, and I'm recording this segment on January the 6th. It's been like a new year and everything. It took me so long to get this episode out because of the audio quality. It was like really bad. Like, okay, so halfway through the episode, I have to like go find my notes. And like, there's like a whole pause and everything so that I can go find my notes. And then when I come back, the audio quality just tanked. It is just doo-doo bad. It is just so stinky. And the reason why was because I had to like move where my mic was so that I could see my notes. So it just ended up just to be like, oh my god. It was just so bad. I'm gonna like still like tweak it every now. Like, I'm just gonna see like what I can do to get rid of that noise in the background when I'm talking. And there's like, you can also like hear me like moving around. So it just sounds like I'm like farting the whole time. And it sucks. But it's not much I can really do about it. I tried the best I could. I just need to stop like maybe moving during recordings. Nothing else I can do about that. Crying over spilled milk or whatever. But regardless of that, I'm just gonna still put the episode out. It took me like a while to decide whether or not I should. But I don't mind the episodes being scuffed. I guess, you know, because once again, this podcast is just kind of like a however you feel about it type thing. So really, it'll be all right. I'm fine with whatever. It's the content that really matters, I guess, at the end of the day. Unless you're trying to listen to this podcast for audio quality, which you are not going to get. But yeah, anyway, that was basically all I wanted to say. Basically, that's all the updates that I really have and everything like that. It's going to be a little tough. Like, I don't record episodes often anyway because, you know, why would I? But it's going to be just even harder because, you know, high school is starting back up for me. College is starting back up for me. And it is just a lot of work. So, yeah, that's basically it and everything. But that's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to say. I'm really sorry about the scuffed quality in the second part of this episode. Hopefully you enjoy me talking about whatever. Just like a hint, I'm talking about the Lorax most of the time. So, yeah, that's basically it, guys. And I'll see you later. Hello and howdy do. My name is Brooke, and welcome to episode 1 of The Roost, a podcast where I hide from predators. Thank you for listening in. We're just going to get right into everything. Basically, what I said in my episode 0 of this podcast was that I was going to discuss something that I'm passionate about, and I can't really teach anything, so that's really all I can discuss. I was going to discuss a movie, like I said, and if you know me and you're listening to this, you probably know exactly what I'm going to discuss. And that is going to be The Lorax. And I've loved The Lorax since it came out. And that was like 2012. And I had to be around, it's 2020, so I had to be around 9 when it came out. And I basically continued liking it. It's almost like a bit of mine now. Because a lot of people are like, well, obviously The Lorax is a bad movie, right? And, they're right, but at the same time, I like to stubbornly argue about it and say, oh, it's actually the most profound movie of our time. And I just like to do it for the funnies. Even now, I sometimes, I try to get people into The Lorax because I think it's just a funny movie to look at. If I'm being honest with you, the movie is kind of a basis for me. Not in terms of taste or anything like that, but to see kind of how seriously people take criticisms and just the movie overall. It's like a personality test for people that handle media that comes with a message. But before I get into that, though, I wanted to kind of update everyone on this podcast as a whole. The point of this podcast is not to just, you know, make one, but kind of just show the process of what's going on and kind of going through the experience of me making it. We do have a Twitter. Not we, it's just me doing all this, but I do have a Twitter up. I will probably put that somewhere on like one of these websites. Hopefully you guys can be able to see them, but I am I'm doing all this through Anchor at the moment, so you know, that's just kind of how it is. Just distributing it is getting it out is just, it's definitely a process, but we're gonna get through it, hopefully. But you know, all that aside though, that's all that's been going on, and hopefully I can get into the groove of this podcast a little bit more. It took me a long time to kind of sit down and get this podcast going and everything. Hopefully I can get into the groove of this a little bit more, but thank you for listening in, if you are. Really appreciate it. But anyway, so The Lorax. I love to discuss it. It's probably one of my favorite things to discuss, because I just like talking about things that really don't matter in the end, but I like building things up to be profound when they aren't. So I actually, like, I've probably mentioned this in episode 0, I think, but I did want to make content myself and everything, and I wanted to make video essays, and that's what I was gonna do with the Lorax, because I thought that was something I was passionate about that I could discuss in length. And I actually started on a script for it, which I will be referencing throughout this kind of conversation about The Lorax. And it's just, I can't actually remember what I said there, but, you know, we won't worry about that. I won't worry about my little rambles. I'm gonna ramble about The Lorax. I am then going to, divide these discussions probably, because I don't think that doing an hour-long podcast is exactly my thing. I kind of listen to my podcasts, actually, before I put them up. And I think I should probably not do that, but I do it anyway because I want to offer the best quality. I do end up kind of listening to them most of the time, though, because I sometimes edit them. I edit just, like, a little parts out of them that I think aren't really needed in discussions. But, yeah, so let's kind of get into this, I think. I put a lot of notes down, because I constantly pause. I noticed that in my first episode. I go, a lot, and, you know, but I thought this would be a good way to remedy it. You might hear, like, a page turn or so, or maybe I'll edit it out for that. I'm very sorry, but let me see if I can find my notes real quick. Okay, I found my notes. That was quick, probably for you guys. That took me about 30 seconds. But anyway, so let's just kind of go through what I feel about The Lorax. I've seen this movie so many times that I decided to be cocky and not watch it before making this podcast. Like I said, I might divide these into parts, because I like certain parts of the movie more than others, and as we go through, I'll talk about that. So I'm just gonna, let's get an introduction into this, you know? There have been many arguments that people have made against this movie. I don't really blame them, honestly. It's you know, it's a cash grab at its core. It's made by Illumination, the infamous creators of Despicable Me and Minions. Used big names for exposure. Like, they had some really big names on there, like Ed Helms, who, in case you don't know, he played Andy in The Office. Zac Efron, Taylor Swift, they had Danny DeVito, who played the Lorax himself. On the surface, it just kind of seems like a movie that doesn't have a lot going on. And, really, I kind of agree with that. But at the same time, I do feel like, it's one of those movies that you can either overanalyze it, or just say it's a kid's movie and, like, leave it. If you read into it, yeah, it has depth. You can find a lot of, I guess, criticisms on capitalism as a whole, which I don't think you would usually see in a movie like that. I mean, although more than one movie has touched on that, most definitely. I do think it offers empowering concepts for a kid's movie, even though it is not executed well. It depends on your perspective, and that's kind of the whole point of the film, I think, if you read into it as deeply as I did. There's been a lot of good and bad media that's come out of The Lorax, and I've had the really unfortunate event of finding, like, Wensler fanfics and stuff like that. Oh man, those are a doozy, let me tell you that. There's so many of them, and, like, people making, like, OCs and, like, AUs of the Lorax has been just something else, really. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of Lorax analysis videos, which you wouldn't really think that would happen for a movie like that. You might hear a lot of regurgitated information. I'm gonna probably say something that you've heard everywhere else. It's kind of a weird limbo from the Lorax, you know? You just don't often hear about a movie like that getting so much attention. But regardless, I'm pretty happy with that, really. So, here's my claims on the situation about the Lorax. There's a lot to say about it, and you can simultaneously argue that it says nothing. It's an oxymoron of a movie, and I feel like in the background, the movie kind of acknowledges that surface level of depth, while also, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like acknowledging, oh, this is a surface level movie. You're never going to figure out something for this. But they had so much more they could have added to it that they just left out on purpose because it would require them to take responsibility as what they were criticizing. So before I kind of get into every single thing I feel about the Lorax, which is very vast in information, I divided the Lorax into two different movies because I feel like there's just two different movies, okay? And I call them Thneedville and what I refer to as Truffula Valley. And I kind of say this for a few reasons. In, like, Thneedville, there are obviously very different concepts that are being touched on in comparison to Truffula Valley. I can kind of go into these later on, but all, like, that you really need to know is that this is where, like, the fake face value themes of the Thneedville movie kind of lies, and it's actually a pretty smart move, despite it not being really entertaining, because most of the time it's just some guy simping. But what you get in Truffula Valley is kind of these, like, I guess more the criticisms of that fake face value life and world. And they kind of collide at the end of the day. But still, in the Truffula Valley story, it did not hit nearly as hard as it could have. And there are many, many, like, songs and just overall, like, themes and I'm pretty sure scripts that have kind of gone over this criticism really well, but they were taken out because, of course, that's just how capitalism works. The main characters of each different part of the movie are so different when it comes to intentions and goals, and I mean, at the end of the day, essentially, they're people pleasers. That's what they are. They have varying amounts of depth, and I will say it right now. I don't think Ted was written well. He's not likable either. I don't really care for him. The Onceler's okay. There's still things about him that. This kind of reminds me of a video essay that I saw. Is like the movie couldn't have been saved, but the Onceler could have, and it was like one song that could have saved him. And I completely agree with that. Now, before a precursor, I would suggest watching the movie. At the same time, I'm probably gonna go over like a few good things. But I would suggest watching the movie just so you can kind of get, like, a little bit going into it and stuff like that before I go into it. And I'm already 10 minutes in, and I haven't really said a whole lot about the movie, I guess, except how I feel about one of the characters. I think you're allowed to appreciate certain parts of a movie and ignore others, although I don't think it's good. Well, how do I explain? That's probably not the best way to put it. I think it's good to say that I appreciate a movie for this while still accepting its flaws. There are things about the Lorax that I think are just great. I love the animation. I think the animation, of course, is beautiful. And I kind of love how they really examined. They made Truffula trees feel alive, you know, and I'm not really mad about that. But when it comes to story and characters, I feel like you can ignore certain parts and enjoy others, although as a result of that, you should not say that it's a perfect film. The Lorax is far from a perfect film, but there are things about it that I still appreciate, and I think are just kind of something that you can look at. But I think despite Finneyville not really hitting the mark for me, I think it's kind of part of the point of the movie, whether Illumination meant that or not. And you might be asking, like, how, if it's such a terrible part of the movie, if you didn't like it, like, how is it good? How is anything about the Lorax good with literally everything that goes into it? And I think you kind of have to jump into the world of the Lorax and kind of look at it from that standpoint to really kind of compare and contrast and, analyze both Finneyville and the Truffula Valley parts of the movie. And I'm not really, like I said, I'm not here to convince anyone that The Lorax is a good movie, because it has a lot of faults, I've seen, like, a lot of, videos that talk about it, and it's kind of, it's a really mixed bag of emotions on how people feel about this movie, and I think it's kind of just that's a perfect place for The Lorax to be. It's far from perfect, and I highly doubt that the Tumblr groups that love the Onceler are gonna say that The Lorax is a great film. They're just there for Band Kid, the Band Kid Onceler. So yeah, I really like to talk about The Lorax. Like I said, I was gonna divide this into parts, and we're already pretty far into, I guess, this part of the. I don't know. I didn't want to do like a whole hour podcast. So, okay. But I want to talk like a little bit about Truffula Valley, and then I don't know, maybe we'll see. I might come back to this and then I record another episode and then kind of put it all together into like little clips and make like a huge mega episode, or maybe I will just kind of go through it through parts. But we'll see. But I do want to touch on Truffula Valley, which would be chronologically the first thing that happens in this movie. From what I've seen about it, many of these like movie analysis videos go from the beginning of the movie to the end, but I think that the chronological order is like just I feel like kind of it helps a little bit, because when you kind of compare it to Finneyville, it makes it seem like it's so terrible, but I like it a lot more when it's just by itself. So basically, where can you start with Truffula Valley? So the way we first see it is that a young guy named the Onceler, or Oncey, we don't know his name. He's like leaving home for the first time to find his calling, find some success, and his whole family is like, no, you're unepic. Like, his family hates him, and they're like that typical Southern family. It's like, oh, bless your sweet soul, and then they gossip about your entire family, just because you said, like, you're having a tough time. I don't know. That reminds me, like, his mother, Onceler's mother, reminds me a lot of, like, people that I know, and it's really funny. So, yeah, he's going to find his calling and find his success, and we're kind of faced with the first, conflict. Of him is that he never felt supported. He never found success, or how do you say, feeling like he belonged somewhere, I guess, because that's what I mean. He left home to kind of find his own place, because of course it wasn't working there. So he was a country boy, and I guess he was trying to. I guess it's like the country boy goes to the city to be good city boy or whatever. Age-old story, really. Like, just iconic. And, then he gets to Truffula Valley, and he sees all this beautifulness and all of these bears and stupid, dumb birds. And I hate the fish in the Lorax. The fish in the Lorax are, like, the worst part of the movie. They're worse than, like, Ted. That's just my opinion. So he goes off, and then like, he's like, oh, this is the place to make my thneed. Now, this is like one of my first criticisms about the movie, and it's just simply because it doesn't make sense. He said that, he said, this is what I need to make my thneed. He doesn't even know what a Thaneed is. Like, true. It okay. How do I explain this in a good way? Because the moment he shows up there, he's like, these truffula trees are just what I need. Gonna chop one down and make my Thaneed. At no point before this did we ever hear about him talking about making a Thaneed, or if he really even knew what truffula trees were. And it seemed that he ventured because he ventured across lands and earth and sea and everything just to get to this place. So it's like, how far away is Truffula Valley? And what's a Thaneed? How did he know to make a Thaneed before he even made the Thaneed? And maybe I'm a little bit rusty on the Dr. Seuss book, but I don't think he ever thought about making a Thaneed. And like, I don't know. That's a little fishy to me, y'all. That's a little fish to me. But anyway, so then he like kills all the animals, gives them marshmallows, and then he goes to like chop down a tree or something. I don't know. And then the Lorax pops about the stupid ground, and then they all like they all start crying. They start peeing their pants and crying. And then they like put a bunch of rocks around a tree like that does anything. I didn't really get that. This is another part. It's just stupid, the first few parts of the movie. It's like just dumb. It's like, okay, first of all, why did they put a rock around the tree? Was that for a grave? Or like the Lorax? I think the Lorax has like huge foresight. I think he can tell like what's going on in the future, because I think that was like the same rocks that said unless on them or something. I don't know. So, like, yeah, and then chops down the trees, they all hold hands or something and have a prayer circle, pray to Allah, I guess. Is the Lorax Allah? Oh my god, never mind, I'm getting off topic. So then the guy, the Onceler, goes to make his stupid Thaneed, and it looks like a bunch of Bubba Dubba that's been chewed up and just, like, been laying on a hot sidewalk for an entire day. And that's like, it's just, that's what it looks like. And then like the Lorax comes out and is like, yo, you chopping down my trees. And the Onceler is like, no, I would never do that. And then the Lorax tries to evict him or something. And like, it's just such an outrageous like start to the movie, or start to this part of the movie, because it's just like, okay, like, magic goblin comes up out of tree and is like, hey man, you gotta get out of here. And this kind of shows the first example of the extremism that the entire Lorax has, is this idea that you can't have capitalism and also help the earth. You can only have one or the other. You can only be a complete environmentalist. Like it's like, hey, you have to be like vegan, use completely organic stuff, even though that's not even human friendly. Like use like be organic. You gotta be perfect, basically. But then the other side is like corporate man, huge corporate beef man, beef man has smog car, use Jeep Escalade. With 50, I don't know, exhaust horsepower or something stupid. And it's just that idea. It's just so, like, I don't know if I can say it's harmful. It is. It's harmful and it's stupid. It's like a Redditor. You can't, it doesn't make sense. But, like, that kind of comes back to bite the Lorax in the end. But it doesn't seem like the Lorax really figures out anything, because he just goes to heaven just to chill there for a few decades. And then he comes back down. Or whatever. Okay, so what happens after that? They're like, okay, we're gonna put him in the water and like let him drown or something. And then he stays over. And then they have pancakes and ooh, the funny bear, funny haha things. And that's just kind of it being a children's movie, is like, oh, because there's a fat one. You see, it's funny because there's a fat bear, right? And like he eat food. He eat the food, and you have the funny animal, because people love animal, and it's just, okay, whatever. I don't think they were really needed. I think you could have had cute animals without giving them those, like, tropes. Because they were fine. Like, they were just sitting there. You know, I was fine with them. But then, like, the fish started, like, singing the Mission Impossible theme. And all of a sudden, I just don't like the movie anymore. But anyway, So after that, he goes to sell his stupid thneed. And he's like, the thneed is good. The thneed is great. And then, like, he gets all of his stuff broken. He gets mugged by, like, a 5-year-old. I'm not even, like, am I really analyzing him at this point? It's because there's, like, so, like, little content in the movie until you get to, like, the climax or, like, the resolution. There's, like, so little before that. But, like, I can still talk about the music, though. I like the music. The music kind of slaps. It slaps, like, pretty good. I think Ed Helms did a great job in singing. He did awesome. But anyway, so, then next things after that is the thneed. He's like, oh, I'm done with the thneed. I'm gonna head on home, pack it up. And then, like, the thneed flies onto this girl with glasses and, like, her hair up. And, like, then her hair goes down and her glasses come off because that's what makes women look nice. They look pretty without the glasses and without their hair up. And then all of a sudden she becomes, like, the most popular girl at school or whatever. And then all of a sudden an entire mob comes to the Wunsler's house. And I was like, yo, we kind of want some thneeds in this bad boy. And then he's like, oh my god, I got the. And then he calls his family. And I think that's probably the best explanation of having an abusive family is, like, when they tell you you're not going to amount to anything and when you are going to be nothing in life, when you become something, you want to get them in on it because they're going to give you that validation that you've always wanted. And I kind of like that point, even though I guess that's simple and, you know, something that everyone, not everyone has experienced, but most people understand as a concept in a movie, at the end of the day. So basically then they all come in there. And then the Wunsler, like, the Lorax is like, yo, you gotta get your family out of here, yo. And I'm gonna make a funny haha gender joke about your aunt because of something. I don't know. I'm not gonna lie. The Wunsler's aunt, though, she her head looks like a croissant, like, straight up. But whatever. And then they start like, hey, we gotta make more of these thneed buddies or something. And I don't know why they tried to make it seem like the family showing up was a bad idea, of course, because they were gonna encourage him to do bad things, of course. But I loved how trashy they made them seem. Was like, yo, this bear's a football. Let me throw this bad boy a few, like, thousand feet. And I'm not gonna lie, Ted's like, not Ted. I keep calling him Ted. The Wunsley's, like, brothers got, like, they have some strong arms. Like, those are country boys. Yee-yee. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then they have them live in a trailer park, which is just the funniest thing for some reason. It's just, like, they're, like, really southern white trash. And I like that. They really did a good job on making us hate his family. But anyway, you know, as it goes on, they're like, hey, like, we can't just, like, keep picking out the truffle leaves or whatever. We need to chop a few trees down. And then the Wunsler's like, maybe we should chop a few of these trees down. And then they're like, yeah, let's chop a few of these trees down. And then the Lorax is like, no, don't chop any trees down. And you see, and he's like, and, like, the Lorax was like, you know what you need to do? Like, that entire agreement was just dumb. I'm never gonna make a thneed again in my entire life. What does the Wunsler get out of that? Nothing. He got nothing out of that. It's just like, I just won't do it. I just won't do it. And then I guess the Lorax is like, okay, we won't kick you out as long as you don't cut any more trees. But, like, that's not what the Wunsler wanted. He wanted acceptance and he wanted a family. You know, he wanted friends and everything. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't, if I was like a, I don't know, a 25-year-old band kid with a donkey, I don't think I'd want to live for the rest of my days in Truffula Valley with a bunch of bears, fish, like a bunch of bears, fish, some vulture looking things, and then a fluffy pillow pet. I don't want to do that. Like, come on. It was just an unfair turnout for him. What the compromise should have been is like, hey, if I chop a tree, I'm going to put up like two more. You know, that would have been a more than enough compromise. That would have been more than fair enough. And the thing is, he had Truffula seeds, you know, and that became obvious, you know, at the end of the movie that he had seeds. So why didn't he just plant it? Was he just like, I don't know what to do now, buddy. I guess it's not in my hands. Dumb. Just straight up dumb. But then they start chopping down all the trees, and they just keep chopping it. And then the Lorax is like, hey, man, this is, like, really bad, man. And then, how bad can I be, please? And this needs to be, like, an entire analysis dedicated to how bad can I be. And the song that it was exchanged for. Because the song that was supposed to play during that was called Biggering. And if you haven't heard Biggering, you really need to. It's a lot more powerful. Now, don't get me wrong, with how bad can I be, it kind of goes from this, upbeat, nice, awesome pop song about this guy being an awesome gamer and stuff like that, and he's just doing awesome things, and he's a capitalist, he's becoming an entrepreneur for his Etsy shop, and he's just so happy. And then it becomes more corrupted as he's like, well, I can't be that bad. I'm not that bad. How bad can I be? And everything. And it becomes, it's like how they portray it is just that he's ignorant. You know, oh, he's ignorant. He doesn't really know what's going on. He's just doing this because he's a poor little country boy. And he doesn't know what to do with himself. And all he's going to do is just chop down these trees because that makes his family happy. And with Biggering, it gave him a lot more responsibility. Was that he was like, no, I'm going to keep Biggering because that's what's going to make me feel good, you know? And he wasn't afraid to admit that. And it showed us kind of the, if like you look at the storyboard for Biggering, it showed us the start of Thneedville and how it actually came to be. Because in the original movie, they didn't actually touch on Thneedville at all. They just were like, yeah, I wonder what's going to happen to the Thneedville, to the Thneed guy. And they're like, let's make Thneedville. But no, but Biggering was, he took a responsibility for what he was doing. And it's so good. I might have to like have like a whole nother separate section just for how bad can I be in Biggering and kind of comparing them. Because it's really good. But anyway, so after that, it's like, Then the Lorax is like, hey man, like, are you happy? And the Wuntzler is like, could you please, like, get out of my house? And the Lorax is like, well, buddy, I don't think you're happy. And then they chop down the last Truffula tree, which is very interesting. And I was like, wow, deforestation, that's awesome. That's awesome, champ, right there. And then, like, literally, like 3 seconds after, like, his family leaves, like, oh my god, I can't believe you let us down. And it's like, y'all were the one chopping down the trees. But I guess when you're, like, country white trash, you don't think, oh, let's just plant more trees, you know? No, it's like, well, that's just it. That's all of them. I don't know what else you want me to do. But anyway, moving on. So after that, that's basically kind of the end of Truffula Valley, because I guess what you're supposed to implicate based off of that is that the Wuntzler locks himself in his house. I forgot. The Lorax goes up to heaven. He just straight up, like, picks himself up, goes up to heaven, and then, like, a bunch of rocks, like, where he chopped down, like, I guess that tree says, like, unless, which is, like, ah-ha-ha. Ayo, Wuntzler. What if you planted some more of those trees, yo? Or what if you stop chopping down those trees? Haha, just kidding. Unless. That's literally all I thought, like recently after watching it again. And I don't know, it was very dumb. Because it just kind of seemed like, oh, I was just so ignorant to my It's like everything, and I was so ignorant to not knowing what deforestation is, which I guess that kind of comes with the territory of being white trash, because you don't have the education to know what deforestation is. But I'm just kidding. But then after that, he's like, you know what? Maybe like the reason why he left that word was because he could tell the future, and he knew that some 14-year-old kid was gonna come up here because he simps for Taylor Swift, and all of a sudden starts caring about environmental problems. And at that point, I guess you can start talking about Finito. And we are at, I just looked at the time of how long we've been recording this episode, and it has been 33 minutes since I started this. So I am gonna, I'm sure I've talked for a while. I mean, of course, considering how long this is going. But that's kind of basically the summary, and like my thoughts, I guess, on Truffle Valley, at least, and hopefully I can talk about how I feel about Finidville at some point. So this is kind of a, how do you say, I'm kind of in between my plan. I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm feeling some type of way about these plans. So here's my idea, is that I'm either going to take a break here, which I've been doing kind of throughout this recording. I'm going to take a break here, and then I'm going to try to kind of get my thoughts together on how I feel about Finidville, and then talk about it again in the same day. Or I'm going to post this as it is, and then I will make a part two to this, which I think probably is going to be what I would like to do, considering how long this episode is. And I didn't really want hour-long episodes. I wanted, 30 minutes is just about fine for me. And but we'll see what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to post this episode. But if you are listening, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my rambles on The Lorax. And as you can see, I do have very strong opinions on a film overall. And especially with this one, I like to talk about it a lot because it's just fun to critique. But yeah, guys, anyway though, yeah, so thank you for listening in on episode 1 of The Roost. Once again, my name is Brooke, and, please follow my Twitter, which I will be putting up somewhere, and hopefully I'll kind of get used to saying it. So for now, I guess I will see you guys later. So toodle pip, toodle-o, and goodbye.